I would like to begin this morning by joining with Ralph in welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us today and not a member of this local assembly, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We thank you for coming, and we hope that you'll come again soon. If you have any questions about the things you hear or see today, please ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. What a beautiful Lord's Day we have. An opportunity to come together with those of like precious faith to worship the God who gave us this beautiful day. Brethren, don't ever take the blessings of life for granted, both spiritually and physically. Today we continue our sermon series entitled Minor Characters in the Gospels. We're looking at characters that are often overlooked. Characters that occupy a less prominent place in our minds. But I believe there are some important lessons to learn from these less important characters. We've looked at people like Zacchaeus and the Samaritan woman. We've looked at Joseph of Arimathea and Simeon. Well, today we're going to continue our study by looking at a man named Nicodemus. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 3. Nicodemus is mentioned three times in the Gospels, all in the book of John. He's mentioned in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21, John chapter 7, verses 45 through 51, and John 19, verses 39 through 42. So Nicodemus is mentioned three times in John 3, in John 7, and in John 19. I would dare say that Nicodemus is most prominent for his discussion with the Lord here in John 3. When I said Nicodemus, if anything came to mind, chances are you thought about this conversation. He's the one who Jesus spoke with about being born again. It was in his conversation with Nicodemus that Jesus uttered those famous words in John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Did you know that was said to Nicodemus? Well, in John 3, let's begin our reading in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Here we're introduced to a man named Nicodemus, and the Bible says he was a Pharisee. What is a Pharisee? During the intertestament period, that is, the 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, several religious sects were formed, including the Pharisees. The Apostle Paul said that the Pharisees were the strictest sect among the Jews. The Pharisees were often enemies to our Lord. Well, notice that this man is described as a Pharisee. He is also described as a ruler of the Jews. That is, he belonged to the Sanhedrin. Last week, when we talked about Joseph of Arimathea, we noted that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the Jewish high court. This was a very prestigious position. Well, Nicodemus was both a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. Remarkably, he came to Jesus by night. That's a tidbit that John will add later as well. Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night. Many have wondered, why did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? Most suggest that he was a bit timid, that he didn't want to be seen by his peers visiting with Jesus, and that's probably right. Being a Pharisee, it would be very unpopular to associate with Jesus. And when you couple that with the fact that he was on the Sanhedrin, visiting with a guy like Jesus would be a no-no. Others have said, well, maybe it wasn't like that. Maybe he had been working all day and this was just a convenient time. Perhaps. But the fact that John belabors this point, mentioning it again later, seems to suggest that Nicodemus may have been a bit timid. Nevertheless, let's give him credit for at least coming to Jesus. He could have just turned a blind eye and a deaf ear. He could have just hardened his heart. He could have went with his peers and said, Jesus is no good. But to his credit, he heard what Jesus said. He saw what Jesus did. And he came to Jesus confessing, we know that you come from God. When you consider this man's background, isn't that an astonishing statement? Here you have a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin willing to admit you come from God. Jesus used this opportunity to tell him about the new birth. In order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Water is a reference to baptism, as many have pointed out. But this is our first introduction, our first acquaintance with Nicodemus. Now turn to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, we see that Jesus was causing a stir. The religious leaders of the day had had enough. Well, notice Nicodemus is mentioned by name. We'll begin in verse 45. John chapter 7, verse 45. The officers then came to the chief priest and Pharisees, who said to them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, no one ever spoke like this man. The Pharisees answered them, have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? Now notice what Nicodemus did there. The Pharisees had had enough. They were ready to apprehend and execute Jesus. This man has gone on long enough. He must be silenced. Well, when the officers begin to show Jesus some sympathy, no one has ever spoke like this man. The Pharisees lashed out. But Nicodemus stood up and said, now wait a minute. Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him? What was Nicodemus doing there? Nicodemus was coming to the defense of our Lord. Though he had to cut against the grain, though he had to oppose his own peers, Nicodemus stood up and said, wait a minute, guys, we need to calm down. This man deserves a fair hearing. Brethren, I'm telling you, that would not have been an easy thing to do. And finally, let's look at Nicodemus in John chapter 19. The third and final time he's mentioned, we're going to look at John 19, beginning in verse 38. John chapter 19, verse 38. This is after Jesus died on the cross. We read, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Here we see that when Jesus died on the cross, two men took his body off the cross and gave him a proper burial. Their names were Joseph
and Nicodemus. Now, last week when we talked about Joseph, we acknowledged how courageous this was. Though he had been a secret disciple, fearful of the Jews before, Joseph stepped up to the plate. He boldly went before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took that precious body off the cross. He gave it a proper burial. Well, notice he was not alone. There was another secret disciple who stepped up. His name was Nicodemus. This is the third time we read about him. And don't you sense he's getting better with time? You know, in John 3, he was inquisitive. By John 7, he's trying to defend the Lord. Well, now in John 19, he's actually stepping out in faith. And by the way, did you notice what Nicodemus did in particular? The Bible says in verse 39 that he came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe. And notice how much he brought. About 75 pounds in weight. I decided to look that up. Is there anything significant about the amount? There is. I'm told that this was an excessive amount. This was an unusually high amount. Typically, you would not use this much. In fact, listen to this. This much was typically reserved for kings and would have been very, very expensive. Nicodemus is stepping up, isn't he? Through his actions, he is demonstrating his faith. Sacrificially giving to the Lord in death. Well, brethren, what are some lessons we can learn from Nicodemus? What can we learn from this less known character? We're going to look at a few lessons a little differently than we've been doing, but first, let's note a few things about Nicodemus. Number one, he was strict. A man of the Pharisees. As I said, Paul said the Pharisees were the strictest sect of the Jews. Number two, he was stately, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the council. That is, he was on the Sanhedrin. Number three, secretive. This man came to Jesus by night. And number four, sacrificial. He brought about 70 pounds in weight of mixed spices. So Nicodemus was strict, stately, secretive, and sacrificial. Well, let's note some lessons. Number one, he visited Christ. In John 3, though it was by night, under the cover of darkness, the Bible says that he came to visit Christ. He didn't wait for Christ to come to him. He went to see the Lord. He had questions. He readily confessed, "You have to have come from God. The things you say and the things you do, this is the product of divine power." Now, Nicodemus was confused. He misunderstood what the Lord said. Remember, Jesus said you have to be born again? And Nicodemus said, "Well, how can that be?" He was thinking physical. Jesus went on to explain. But brethren, can't we learn a lesson about the need to come and visit Jesus? If we want to know more, we can't sit back and wait. We have to come to Jesus. Number two, he defended Jesus. In John chapter 7, the other Pharisees had had enough. "You should have brought him. We've heard enough of this man." Nicodemus boldly said, "Now you wait a minute. Does our law permit us to act like this? Doesn't he deserve justice? Doesn't he deserve a fair hearing?" Many people today, I dare say many of us, have been in situations where people have tried to defame and diminish Jesus. In one way or another, they've attacked Jesus or the truth he taught. Do we have the guts to stand up and defend our Lord? Even when we're outnumbered, even when our peers are against us, do we have the courage and conviction to stand up for Jesus? What about when people attack His church? You remember when Jesus came to Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus? Saul had been persecuting the church, Galatians 1:13, but Jesus didn't see it that way. Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" To persecute the church of Christ is to persecute Christ Himself. When someone is mocking and ridiculing and putting down the Lord's church, they are attacking the Lord. Well, let me ask you a question. Nicodemus stood up for the Lord. He tried to defend the Lord. When people attack the church of our Lord, do we defend it? And in so doing, defend Him? He defended Christ. And number three, he honored Christ. At the least opportune time, you think about it, Jesus was very unpopular right now. He had been condemned as a criminal. He had been crucified on a cross. People were jeering Him. The disciples had run away in fear. This seems like the least likely time to step out in faith. And yet Joseph and Nicodemus did. Can you imagine? As others are probably still sneering the body of our Lord as it hang there, here Joseph and Nicodemus come and they gently take it down. Probably with Pharisees and members of the Sanhedrin watching, they gently wrap the body of our Lord. They anoint it with the spices and mixes. They carry it to Joseph's own tomb. And they give that precious body a proper burial. To the dismay and dissatisfaction of the population, they gave Jesus the honor He deserved. Do we honor Jesus? Do we honor Him in the way we talk? In the way we dress? Do we honor Him when it comes to our attendance and our giving on the first day of the week? Do we honor Him by trying to teach His Word to others? There are many ways we can honor Jesus. Sometimes it's not very comfortable to honor Jesus. Sometimes people put us in an awkward position. That's no excuse. They were put in an awkward position. But they gave Him the honor He deserved anyways. Nicodemus visited Christ, he defended Christ, and he honored Christ. It took him a while to become what the Lord requires. But I think as you look at these three episodes, you see an evolution of faith, don't you? Kind of like with the Samaritan woman in John 4, how her faith evolved before our eyes. She first saw Jesus as a needy Jew, then as a prophet, and then as the Christ. She underwent an evolution of faith, and we see the same thing here. He was first inquisitive. Then he stood up and defended our Lord. And finally he comes out, steps out in faith, and honors our Lord in death. When you think of Nicodemus, have you ever thought about him like this? Have these points ever come to mind? Let me ask you a question. Before today, what exactly did you think of Nicodemus? How did you view Nicodemus? He wasn't perfect. But brethren, I think he ought to be commended for these three points. We need to visit Christ. We need to defend Christ, and we need to honor Christ at even the least opportune times. It took Nicodemus a long time, but he stepped out in faith. The question is, have you stepped out in faith? If not, we never conclude a service without giving you this opportunity. Maybe you've let fear and embarrassment hold you back. Maybe you're afraid to step out and say, Jesus, I'm willing to come to you. I'm willing to confess you before men and to be immersed in water. Nicodemus finally broke through the shackles of fear. You need to do the same. Will you come this morning believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Because He is. Jesus is not a way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But understand that saving faith is an obedient faith. It is an active, working faith. You must repent of your sins. You must confess Him as Lord. And you must be immersed in water. If you'll take those simple steps, as the Lord said, you'll rise up born again, cleansed by His blood, on the one and only road that leads to heaven. Maybe you've said, well, you know, my family, they just wouldn't like that much. Or my friends, they wouldn't want me to do that. How do you think Nicodemus felt? Well, you know, it's just so embarrassing to have to walk down that aisle with everybody watching. How do you think Nicodemus felt as he took down the body of Jesus and carried it to the tomb? Do you think he did that in secret? No, people were watching. Whatever it is that's holding you back, break through. It's time once and for all to lay aside the pride, the procrastination, all that keeps you back. It's time to come to Jesus, and it's time to come right now. For the sake of your soul, don't delay. Come now as we stand and sing.